Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Have you ever gotten into it with a celebrity? That's what Brian Hanley and I are talking about. Hoodie's on vacay. Enjoy it, my man. 312-332-3776. Brian, it's amazing to watch these phone lines. Like, every single line, one hangs up, the next calls in. It's crazy.
Well, living in Chicago, you have a lot of opportunity to run into famous people, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing, right?
Yeah, I heard a story. I didn't talk to the person until they ended up calling in on the radio. It wasn't like I was there and witnessed it. But this woman, I'm trying to remember if it was maybe in Sneed, but she ended up calling into one of the shows I was doing. They're walking down Michigan Avenue. She said it's December. It's actually a pretty pleasant early evening. Her son is wearing a Packers jersey because he loves the Packers. They live here. She said, we look, and the guy standing right next to them is Aaron Rodgers. And he's like, Mom, that's Aaron Rodgers. And she's like, excuse me, I don't want to make a scene, but could I get a picture of my son with you? And he's like, yeah, let's just step over here. I don't want to cause a scene here either, especially in the city of Chicago. But she said he couldn't have been a better guy. And I was glad to hear that, because if I heard he was, you know, a jag, I would have really been bummed. You know,
a lot of Bears fans would rather think he was a complete jag, but
yeah. No question. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Let's go to Armando. He's listening. Hey, Armando, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
How you
First
doing?
First time caller, long time listener, man.
Appreciate you.
Man, I got a story, man. About 1996, I'm living down in El Paso, Texas, and my mom used to work at the Marriott Hotel. Mm-hmm. She was a room lady. So she goes one night to do a turndown service. I'm not even sure exactly what the hell that is, but she went in to do that. Knocked on the door. The gentleman says, come on in. So she walks in there, notices he's in the shower. So she leaves, goes to another room, comes back a little bit later. So she knocks on his door. She says this big old giant, about 7 feet tall, opens the door and just goes down to about her level. She's about 5'4", little Mexican lady. And he yells at her, I told you to come in when I was in the shower. I'm busy now. So she tells him in her old little broken Spanish, you know, broken English. She's like, I cannot come in here when you are in the shower. And she just looks at him and just walks away, you know. She slams the door on her. A couple nights later, I'm watching a Monday Night Night Show. I don't know if you're familiar with that wrestling. All of a sudden, the Big Show comes out. And she's like, that's the man who yelled at me the other day at the hotel room. I was like, Mom, you almost got chokeslammed by the Big Show. I was like, that's crazy.
How about that?
Wow. Hey,
Armando, appreciate it, man, okay?
All right, man. Take it easy, man.
Appreciate you. 312-332-3776. Joe is in Villa Park. Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
What's up, Dave? Love the show. Long-time listener.
Appreciate you.
I'm walking down Russia Avenue. It's my wife's birthday. We closed the bars out, getting ready to catch a cab. And I see this guy walking down the street, talking on his phone, pretty big dude. And I look at him, and I realize it's Albert Bell. And he just came in town. I think he might have just came into town, or it might have been right after they were throwing dollar bills at him in Cleveland. So I'm like, hey, Albert. And he keeps walking down the sidewalk. So I'm like, hey, that's Albert Bell. My wife's like, God, come on, let's catch a cab. I'm like, no, I'm going to go shake this guy's hand. So I'm like, I'm yelling at him as he's walking away from me. He's talking on the phone. I say, hey, Albert, Mr. Bell. And he turns around. He looks at me. I got my hand extended to him. I'm like, you're not going to shake my hand? He doesn't say a single word to me. He just puts his phone in his shoulder. He shakes my hand, and he just walks away. Don't look on this guy's face. I thought he was going to pick me up and throw me somewhere.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't say trick or treat.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So I'm on the field at Wrigley. Scott Reifert, who's still with the White Sox, he's the VP of...
Oh, he's terrific. Because I love Scott.
This guy's a great dude. So yeah. Scott's standing there. Albert Bell's 3 feet to his left. I walk up to Scott. Cubs Sox. I said, hey, man, I'd like to feature one of your guys. I've interviewed Mike Fontenot 9,000 times. I'd rather interview one of your guys. And he said, who are you thinking? I said, what about Albert? It's going to be easy. It's not a hard-hitting thing.
Softball,
it's a 5-minute pregame piece. Scott's response to me is, would you like me to tell you to go F yourself, or you want him to do it? And so I walk away. Now, ninth inning, Cubs are winning, and Albert Bell comes up with two men on, one out, and a chance to win the game for the White Sox. He hits into a double play. Ball game over. Cubs win. I am in the clubhouse. Mike North, if you're listening, call in. Because Mike North, Bell is sitting at his locker, head down. You can tell he's not in a good place. And I walk in the locker room. North walks in. North walks up, pats him on the back, like slaps him on the back. It's okay, buddy. We'll get him tomorrow, big guy. And he whips around, stands up, and is literally ready to fight Mike. Yes, that's in the White Sox clubhouse.
Yeah, yeah, that's Albert.
That's Albert. Albert was a hothead, man. That's why he went to jail. 312-332-3776. Go to Downers Grove. That's where Jim is. Hey, Jim, what's up, man?
Can I pause before Jim starts?
Yes.
So just I want to pull back the curtain. Full phone lines, right? Uh-huh. What I do back here is I talk to everybody that calls in. I find out their story. I kind of air it out. I vet it. Uh-huh. I get their name, where they're from. They tell me the story. Now, in the call screener, I'm just writing the name of the person they got into it with. Uh-huh. Now, we've got full phone lines. Jim called less than 30 seconds ago. I said to Jim, and he'll verify this, I go, Jim, I bet you you're the next caller Cap takes when he sees the name of the person that was an ass to you. Right, Jim?
Very true. But I also said you love Jay Cutler.
I do. The second. We've got people that have been holding on for over an hour to do this. He goes to you because it's Jay Cutler, so he could pile on.
100%.
So here's your Cutler story, and it's a good one. I take my brother Joe to Soldier Field preseason game. I'm a Bears season ticket holder. My brother Joe's recovering from cancer. Mm-hmm. He's in a wheelchair. He's got a bald head and a cane. We get down on the field that day. The Bears put us on the field. My brother gets out of his chair on the sideline before the game. We walk up. Jay Cutler walks up and talks to the guy right next to my brother. I said to Cutler, I don't interrupt. I wait for him to finish. I said, hey, how about a picture with my brother Joe? As he gets out of the wheelchair. Cutler completely and totally ignored us like we weren't there. That's Jay Cutler.
Wow.
I've got 20 of those from different people.
I have one. I have a first.
Jim, thanks, man.
I have a firsthand Cutler story. Now, you know I love Jay Cutler, but this will always bother me. So it was Jay Cutler's second year of the Bears. Mm-hmm. We were down in Bourbonnais broadcasting from camp. Mm-hmm. After camp, I was told, hey, Jay Cutler's going to come over. He's going to sit down. I think back in the time it was Carmen Yurko and Harry was a show I was producing, right? Mm-hmm. So Jay was going to come over after practice, sit down and do an interview with the guys. So we have a tent, and all of a sudden Bears PR pulls up. Jay Cutler's sitting sidecar. They pull up to the side of the tent. Jay Cutler walks in through the opening and makes his way through the stage. Now, obviously, there's a full crowd of people there that were there to attend practice. They wanted to see Jay. A little boy, couldn't have been older than 8 years old, runs over with his Bears hat and a Sharpie and hands it to Jay to sign. Jay takes the hat from the little boy and the Sharpie. So you think, all right, this is cool. Jay's going to sign it. He then takes the hat and he flings it out into the rest of the crowd and he goes,
come on.
True story. Carmen saw it. He can verify it at Crosstalk. Took the hat, flinged it out into the crowd and goes, no. And then he sits down and does the audio, the interview with the guys.
That
bothered me because it's a little boy. And if you're not going to sign the autograph, just don't take the kid's hat.
Well, I mean, you have to really go out of your way to be a grade A, you know what?
Jay. I had so many people that I know. It's not like some stranger walking up to me. I've had friends of mine, one of them he owns a car service company, and one of his drivers and he were out one day, and they said, let's do Uber for a couple hours till our person we dropped off is ready to go. And they got Jay. And he said it was a very unpleasant experience.
Well,
very.
Look, I get the professional autograph guys, you know, the 45-year-olds, and I used to do the Ditka show at Ditka's, and, you know, every commercial break, the same four guys had gone back to the trunk of their car outside to get another six pieces of memorabilia to have the coach sign because they're merely putting it on eBay. So I get you know, when a guy gives them, you know, the stiff arm and, like, you know, enough. But an 8-year-old kid with a hat or whatever it is, that's just a complete jerkwad.
Right.
Mean,
that's why I could never root for that guy. Too many of them. Too many of them. And he was the most overrated player to ever roll through this town.
Beatlemania. Jerry Angelo, remember that? Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be the answer to all the quarterback problems. Oh, and here we sit.
Let's go to Brian on the Gold Coast. Hey, Brian, what's up there, Sparky?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are you? Happy Monday.
You too.
Tuesday, Wednesday, what day is
it's
it?
It's Wednesday.
I just got Monday, back from Florida. Wednesday? Give me a break. Listen, so we were season ticket holders at Wrigley, and Mia Hamm, when we had Nomar, used to sit right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And my old man's buddy was the most cynical, disrespectful dude that I'd probably ever met. And he would just heckle the Cubs players when they were down. And one day, Corey Patterson was having maybe the worst game of his career. And he would not stop just digging into him and digging into him. Mia Hamm sits right in front of us during her Nomar's time with the Cubbies. She finally turns around after a few innings and goes, "Buddy, we heard you already. Give it a rest." And then he looks to her and says, "I'm sorry, the world of women's softball has not been the same since the late, great Mia Hamm retired." And she turns to her friend and points to him and says, "I've never hated anyone more than I hate this guy in my life. And I've never sunk lower in my chair just having to associate with this guy." And there's a follow-up to it. A couple of years ago, I was doing a charity Cubs softball game, and I'm sitting in the dugout next to, of course, Corey Patterson. And I thought this was a great opportunity to share the story with him. Needless to say, I don't think Corey found it as humorous as I did, but he's a great guy, and he handled it really well.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and I interviewed Mia Hamm when we acquired Nomar. Thanks for the call, Brian. She's a really nice person, but she's like the greatest. Is she the greatest soccer player in the history of women's soccer? Maybe.
Not softball.
Yeah, exactly. When you go, women's softball. I mean, come on, man. Come on.
I mean, yeah. You're just asking. You're asking to get a reaction.
All right, 312-332-3776. More fun and frivolity coming up.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Having some fun with my man Brian Hanley here on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Hoodie is on vacation. Have a great time. Danny JR, 312-332-3776. Meller's also on vacay. I think they're skiing. His son's like a competitive skier.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
His son, I guess, is real. What is he, like 10? I think he's 10. And I saw a video of him. It looked like Jean-Claude Keeley was going down a mountain or Lindsey Vonn. It was.
How do you become an accomplished skier when you live in Chicago?
Meller's wife apparently was a very accomplished skier.
I mean, where do you find, you know?
So they were living in Madison for a while.
Oh, okay.
And so he got exposed to, there's, I guess, some pretty good ski places up in Wisconsin. And I saw this video. Meller's like, I'm like, "Where's your son?" He's like, "He's the one flying down the mountain here." And I'm like, "Oh, my God." Yeah.
Yeah, I skied like 3 times in my life, and enough of those 6- and 7-year-old guys and girls were doing pirouettes around me, and I'm tumbling down. I was like, "Yeah, this, I can't embarrass myself anymore. I'll be in the pub at the inn at the bottom of the hill there."
Yeah, that's exactly right. I am not a skier. No shot. 312-332-3776. How about Sam in McHenry? Hey, Sam. What's up, man?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, so my run-in was with Billy Buckner when I was about maybe 10 to 12 years old. We were in Arizona vacationing. Boho Camp Park was pretty new back then. And I really liked Billy Buck. He was my idol at the time. And I've never been so close to one of my favorite players, especially as a kid. And we're walking up to go into the park, and there's like a line of the guys. walking into the stadium. It was such a hokey setup back then. It was like going to a high school game. And there's Billy Buck. And I go, hey, Billy Buck, can I have your autograph? And he's like, after the game, kid. And my dad, who used to be a sailor, and he was ready to go. He's like, blankety, blankety, blank. How could you blow off a kid like that? He was so mad. And my dad never stood up for me, but that was pretty cool. And, wow. Of course, by the second inning, he was gone. He went golfing. So it was a big lie. I was pretty disappointed.
My older brother used to have a Billy Buckner baseball card in his wallet. That's how much he loved Billy Buckner.
Yeah, and he was like one of the first, when I was a kid, when they got him in that trade, he was one of the first, you know, like really, really compelling players that the Cubs had. They had Bill Madlock, traded him.
Yep.
You know, we had
too much money and they got Bobby Mercer and paid him more. I mean, tell me what was going on there. Yeah,
exactly.
And I adopted a Manny Trio.
Uh-huh.
And so my brothers and I had partial season ticket plan and, you know, got to know the people around us. So I don't know how it evolved, but we eventually, every time Manny Trio came to the plate, we would yell, stand up and yell 1020 Trio. And he would step back and tip his cap to us. And I met him at a Cubs charity event years later and told him the story. He's like, that was you? He actually handed me a game-used Manny Trio bat. And I was still in my teens. I used that playing sandlot ball all summer. And I unfortunately cracked it pretty soon after he gave it to me. Went home, nailed it up, taped it up, kept using it. I mean, he couldn't have been a nicer guy. So I don't know why we embraced Manny Trio of all Cubs, but it turned out to be a great experience. And you know, he just loved the fact that there were like six of us out there cheering for him every time.
Yeah, I had that similar type of experience with Jay Johnstone, like the ultimate bench guy. And my brother and I were vendors, and he would always see us there early. Who you got in the finals? We had the Sixers, and he had, I think they played the Lakers. And we bet a Jay Johnstone bat. And he paid up, man. He was a nice guy.
There you
really
go.
Nice. I think he just passed. Anyway, really? I think he just died.
Oh, boy, that's not good.
312-332-3776. Jose is on the south side of the city. Jose.
Hey, how you doing, Cap? How you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
So my story, a couple years ago, around 2010, Carlos Zambrano used to play indoor soccer at the Max in Lyons. So we ended up getting wind of it. And my, at the time, 7-year-old nephew was a big, big Zambrano fan, even myself. So, you know, we head down to the Max. We get there, wait till he finishes his game. And, you know, we took a jersey and completely blew us off. My little nephew started crying, so I kind of followed him and asked him in Spanish. I figured, okay, maybe if I ask him in Spanish, he'll respond a little better. Nope, quite the opposite. So, you know, I got a little upset and kind of told him, you know, some obscene things in Spanish. And he kind of just looked at him like, well, you know, that's how you're going to be traded soon. And little by little, I didn't know that he wouldn't be with the Cubs. Soon after that, so that was the big.
We stinks.
We stinks. Appreciate the call.
Was you GM now?
Yeah, I was in the Cubs clubhouse at Fitch Park in Arizona. It's 6:45 in the morning, whatever time they opened early, and I'm standing next to the great Paul Sullivan.
He
and Zambrano had a tempestuous relationship.
He picked Sully up.
He and Sully went at it a few times.
Yeah.
So we're standing in the middle of the locker room. Zambrano is dressing. And remember when Lou had said he needs to do more ab work and get his abs stronger for his core because he had a back issue? So Zambrano takes off his shirt to put his uniform clothes on. He turns around to Sully and to me. And he and I had our moments, and now we're really, really cool. I text with him. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. He turns to us and he goes, you see that, Sully? That's called a six-pack. And Sully looks at him and goes, yep, one for every win you had last year.
Oh, see, I love Sully.
And
he's my guy.
Zambrano, he was so stunned, picked up his gym bag and just walked out of the locker room. Didn't even finish dressing, walked out. It was one of the funniest moments I've ever seen.
Don't mess with the old scribe. Yeah, you can't fight the barrel of ink.
Ted Phillips. You cannot fight the barrel of ink. That's exactly right. 312-332-3776. Jim is out in Hawthorne. Hey, Jim, what's up, man?
Yeah, hopefully you guys can hear me. I have some throat surgery, but
oh, we got you.
Years ago, we played pickup basketball at my parish gym, and a friend of mine from Detroit wanted to play. He said, can I bring a buddy? I said, sure. So this guy gets in the car, big guy, and he says, guys, this is Greg Landry. And at the time, Landry was our quarterback for Detroit.
Uh-huh.
So we go to the gym, small little gym. Everyone's, you know, I'm kind of, hey, it's Greg Landry. And kids are getting a few autographs and everything, and I'm feeling really good. The game starts. He starts throwing elbows, knocking guys over. It escalates, and he eventually grabs a 15-year-old kid around the neck.
Oh, boy.
And one of the dads was playing said, who brought this guy? I said, I did. He said, I don't ever want to see this guy around here again. He was just psycho. It was just crazy. That's about it, but he was wild.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man. He's still around, Greg Landry. He's retired, 74 years of age.
You don't want to get in a pickup game with him, apparently.
Apparently not. Some of these guys take that stuff so serious. I'm, it's just amazing to me. You're going up against a bunch of accountants and a bunch
of guys.
I thought
that was Doug Bruno who called in.
Doug Bruno was an intense guy to play hoop with.
No, I know, but...
Yeah, oh, that voice?
Doug. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Doug.
Yeah.
Travis is out in Park Ridge. Hey, Travis.
Hi, good morning. First time caller. How you guys?
How are you? Appreciate you.
I'm good, man. So my story is about 20 plus years ago, I used to bounce at a nightclub down in Virginia, and the nightclub was attached to a hotel, and we had the Hard Knock Life tour come in. It was Jay-Z, DMX, Redman, Method Man. So the first night of the concert, which was at another venue, I had to go up and ask Jay-Z if he was planning on coming back to our nightclub so that we could beef up security in case, you know, these celebrities were coming in. And he kind of gets in my face and he's like, I don't know, white boy, maybe, you know, we're doing this to protect the celebrities. So two nights later, the tour's over, in our city. It's 4:30 in the morning. Jay-Z comes walking down out of his hotel room, and these two girls were sitting in the lobby waiting. Just two people. That's it. This is before, like, iPhones and all this. And they're like, Mr. Jay-Z, we've waited all night. We've waited all night to take a picture with you. Can we get a picture? And he goes, I didn't ask you to wait. And I was kind of offended because, you know, he was already kind of rude to me. So I looked at him. I was like, hey, don't be a Richard. In this, to keep it PC or PG, these girls, it's just two girls. Like, what is the problem? And his bouncer started coming, like, approaching me. But he ended up taking the picture with the girls, and they were very appreciative. So that's my story.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Travis. Yeah, I who's the biggest name you've ever been around, Brian?
Biggest? Oh, Muhammad Ali.
Yep, that would be a good one. Michael would be another one that we were
it
both around.
It was during the Bulls Pistons playoff series, the bad, you know, bad boys, the bad blood, everything, you know, walking off the court. And I was assigned at the Sun Times to cover the Pistons end of the playoff series, and Muhammad Ali was sitting directly behind press row, and he had the beginnings of Parkinson's, but I mean, he was taking pictures with everybody and just be within a few feet of him. I mean, it's hard to describe, but yeah, when you're around somebody who has that vibe of special, that greatness, I mean, it's just to be in the proximity.
It's just different. People who have never experienced, you just can't put your finger.
No,
it's just,
no.
They've got it. There's a quality.
It wasn't like I was talking with him or, you know, it wasn't a one-on-one, but just to be in within like 3 feet of him and to, there was just an aura. I mean, I'm not exaggerating that. It just, I think you know, it's just, I've been around a ton of athletes and, you know, Michael and all of them. And he's the only one I can really say that I was in awe, literally in awe in that moment of.
Yeah, Danny got somebody for Carmen and Yurko, Danny, what, 2 years ago? And that's one that I had always wanted to meet. And then Danny said he wasn't a nice guy. He was an amazingly nice guy. Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, everyone says, I mean, you know, can't get more mellow, right?
Yeah, exactly. Danny, he was cool, right?
Cool. He was the greatest. He was the absolute greatest. His handlers didn't want him to do it. And he's like, no, man, I'm going to go with this guy. Let's go. He came in studio. He hung out. He took pictures with everyone. He didn't want to leave.
He was
like Charles Barkley awesome.
Yeah, and I love Snoop. I would love to have met him. That guy, there's just something about him I like. I just do. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot. Coming up next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see man, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see.
Shot No Shot brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbooks here. Visit us at Hawthorne Racecourse. Experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download the PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit $20 with the code ESPN. Danny.
Gentlemen, Brian Hanley, who's with us today, is 50% of the hockey show, which could be heard every Saturday morning right here on ESPN 1000 at 10 a.m.
With Pat Boyle.
Well, I was going to say the other 50% is the powerful good time
Pat
Boyle.
No, he's 75%. Let's give him his due.
I think you're 33%, Pat's 33%, and his hair's 33%.
Oh, absolutely.
That hair is just ridiculously good.
Yeah.
The point being, Brian, the Hawks returned to the United Center. They snapped a four-game losing streak. They won 3-2 against the Florida Panthers. I ask you, boys, shot or no shot, your Chicago Blackhawks make the playoffs.
No shot. No shot. And I'd rather get a high draft pick. That team's not good enough. The goaltender has crashed back to earth. He's okay.
He was great last night.
Yeah, he was good last night. No question.
Hey, look, this guy, Kevin Lankinen, 25-year-old Swedish player, they sign him. Wherever the Hawks international scouting department is unbelievable, right? They keep finding these gems.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sustainable, we talked about it yesterday, we talked about it on the hockey show, PB and I all the time. They surprised the league and were one of the feel-good stories. They were the number one story in the league for a good 4 or 5 weeks there because no one expected them to be within a shouting distance of a playoff spot. But Kevin Lankinen plus special teams play is a very fragile formula to sustain throughout even a 56-game season, Cap. So great goaltending, and the power play was hitting at 36%, and the penalty kill was really doing a job, and now the power play's come down to 28% conversion rate, and the PK is 72%. The good news is, if you're a Hawks fan looking for a playoff, the schedule opens up. You got one more against Florida, then you're done with Tampa and Florida, and that's been the disaster. You know, that's been the majority of the losses. That they are in the playoffs right now, and the teams behind them have closed on them because they were in Florida for the last week, and we know what happens when they go down there. So, you know, they were gifted a playoff spot last year because the league wanted eyes on their tournament, so they got Montreal and the Hawks in there when they weren't qualifying by virtue of hockey before it was suspended. But, hey, you're playing 6-7 rookies on some games. There's a lot to like about this team. So I say shot. They're going to be a playoff team.
They've won, what, 9 games in regulation the entire season?
That's right, because they don't have finishers. Whatever Jeremy Colleton is selling, they're buying, and Patrick Kane gets all the credit because he's bought in. And they know. I mean, Alex DeBrincat said a couple weeks ago, we're not going to outskill anybody. They know. They self-realize. They know who they are. And they're a team that has to compete and can't take a shift off, let alone a period off. And unfortunately, each game, you know, there's a period here, 10 minutes there, 5 minutes there, whatever. But it's not because they lack try hard. It's because they lack talent and veteran talent. And so they're the Suter and some of these young guys that you've watched Kirby Docks coming back into the lineup. He was not going to even play this year. He's back full bore on practice. He might be in the lineup in a week or two. So that's like a trade acquisition by April 12th instead of actually going out and getting a guy.
Danny.
Gentlemen, the NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Time. Shot or no shot, your Chicago Bulls make a significant trade by the deadline.
Go ahead, Brian.
Is Lauri Markkanen significant?
Absolutely.
We're talking about going or coming back?
Either way, a significant a move where we actually say, wow.
Well, I don't know if I would say wow, but I'd say they're probably going to trade Markkanen, yes. Shot.
Yeah, I'll say shot that they make a significant deal. I know there's talk out there about Malcolm Brogdon. The reason that a lot of teams didn't sign him when he left Milwaukee is he has a congenital foot issue that is very tough to get insurance on. And so if that foot gives out and you signed him, whatever they gave him, 50-some million dollars, you're on the hook for it, man, because you couldn't insure it. So he's a really good player. If my doctor signed off on it, yeah, I'd love to have a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. I don't know if that is what you get for Lauri Markkanen, but yeah, I have no problem with them making a move.
All right, gentlemen. Jake Arrieta held the White Sox to one run on five hits in 5 2/3 innings yesterday. The most encouraging thing was, though, he didn't walk anyone and he struck out three. Now, David Ross already named Kyle Hendricks the Cubs' opening day starter. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Jake Arrieta is locked in as the Cubs' number two starter.
Shot. Absolute shot. First of all, he's Jake Arrieta. He's brought swagger back to that clubhouse and to that team. It's not like you have John Lester here or you have somebody that's been really, really good, Darvish here. No, I'm not giving him the spot behind Zach Davies. I'm giving him the spot at number two because he's Jake freaking Arrieta.
Shot. And not only that, Cap, you know, he's reinvented himself. He's 35. You know, Jesse told us yesterday on the afternoon show when we were filling in, when Connor and I were filling in for Waddle and Sylvie, that when they signed him, I'm like, okay, I haven't been paying attention to the Phillies, so I don't know if he can still bring it 96, 95, 97. Well, the answer is he can't. And so he can bring it 92, but the good news is that he has now reinvented himself. He's got the sinker, the cutter, the slider all going, and for swing and misses, and you know, you'd like to see that. Not only was he motivated to come back to the Cubs, and where he had great success, his best success, obviously, goes without saying, but he wasn't coming back just for a farewell tour. There's still a little fire burning in there, and it's great to hear that he and Kyle Hendricks are, you know, they all talk about how they haven't missed a beat in a few years, right? They're, the chemistry's still there, so that is your one and two right there. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Shot.
I will
tell you this, Twitch, and everybody can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, which is brought to you by the Marquee Sports Network. Twitch completely disagrees with you guys, and they say Zach Davies. It's almost unanimous in the Twitch chat, just so you guys know.
Okay.
All right, let's see.
I'm going to pull a Kaplan now, Brian. Like, Dave Kaplan likes to ask random trivia that nobody possibly could know the answer to.
Dave?
And
Dave. Why do you ever call me Dave?
It just came out that way.
And I hate
so
that.
So I'm going to pull a David Emmanuel Kaplan and pull an impossible trivia question out to you, just so I sound like the smartest guy in the room. Do you guys know what happened 37 years ago today?
37 years ago
today. Is it a sports question or is it a general?
It's a pop culture question.
37 years ago, what's the date, 24th?
Correct.
March 24th, 37.
37 years ago would give us, so that's 1984. I'm going to say, it's pop culture, so it's not a trade.
There's no way you're going to get it. I just pulled a David Kaplan.
What is it?
I'll tell you. A brain, an athlete, a basket case, a princess, and a criminal spent time together in Saturday morning detention at Shermer High School. It was John Hughes' classic,
The Breakfast Club.
Took place on this day.
And where was it filmed
37 years ago. New Trier.
No. It was filmed at Maine North.
That's correct.
Maine North.
That's exactly what I said. So I asked you guys.
So wait, it came out on this day 37
no,
years ago?
No, it took place on this day. It was March 20th.
Oh, in the movie.
In the movie, yes.
In their detention. It was their Saturday, right?
Correct.
Detention?
Yes.
That's such a great movie.
And it was this date. So my question for you guys is, shot or no shot, The Breakfast Club is on the Mount Rushmore, and I know our boss, Mike Thomas, hates Mount Rushmores. Shot or no shot, The Breakfast Club is on the Mount Rushmore of movies based in our beautiful city.
Oh.
Well, The Fugitive's on there.
The Untouchables.
Ferris Bueller's number one. It's the Michael Jordan of movies in the city, right?
Yep. Uncle Buck.
The Blues Brothers.
The Blues. No shot is Breakfast Club on the
Mountain. Yeah, Mount Rushmore.
No shot.
Boy, you guys were quick to dismiss that.
Well, first of all, it's suburbs. It's not in the city.
It's Chicago area.
No.
Let's not get into semantics.
Well, I'm sorry. I just did. No.
Oh, and you've got, what was the one?
Home Alone.
Home Alone's another one.
Home Alone's on the Mount Rushmore.
Not the Terminator. What's the one they filmed out on Michigan Avenue?
The Dark Knight?
Yeah, The Dark Knight.
But that doesn't take place in Chicago. They just used our city, right?
Okay,
that's Gotham City.
Right.
That's not our city.
Okay.
They just used it.
Yeah.
So we can get some cash.
Yeah, I'm going to go hard pass. And no, I love the
Breakfast Club.
It might
not even be top 10. We could sit here and... We might be down to 1920 by the time the show's over.
Oh, it's definitely top 10.
Really?
Yes.
League of Their Own?
No, that's not above The Breakfast Club.
League of Their Own is pretty freaking
That's
good.
A great movie, not above The Breakfast Club.
Oh, it's filmed at Wrigley. It's Tom Hanks.
Risky Business?
Risky Business.
A good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, see, we're going to get to 18 before The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, no question. 16 Candles. When Harry Met Sally filmed in Chicago.
16 Candles is not better than The Breakfast Club.
I'm just reading.
Harry Met Sally is more New York, other than the beginning of the movie, right? Where they're going the wrong way on Lakeshore Drive.
Correct. I wouldn't put that Chicago. I would put The Fugitive, probably Ferris Bueller, Home Alone, and we need one more for the Mount Rushmore.
The Blues Brothers.
No question about it. No question. All right, Danny.
Oh. Orange Whip.
Orange Whip. Ooh, three Orange Whip.
Untouchables.
Yeah, we said that one.
Yeah,
that's good.
Guys, The Untouchables.
That's a good one.
All right, Danny.
You should have said that one. Go ahead, Danny.
That's all the time we have for Shot or No Shot, boys.
Oh, come on. You're better than that. 312.
Pass on The Breakfast Club.
About Last Night was filmed in Chicago, too.
Absolutely. Now, that is
That's another great one.
Not better than Breakfast Club. With your guy, Jim Belushi.
What about Backdraft?
Not better than Breakfast Club.
That was a really good movie. Coolie High. Remember Coolie High?
Now you're just reaching. Now you're just reading the internet. When you pull out a Coolie High, clearly you just hit Google and now are reading us the results.
But Coolie High was awesome.
We're going to go to break. Up next, Sister Jean or Diamond Dallas Page?
Hey, Sister Jean!
Cap, J Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So Cameo is a cool concept. It's like a video greeting card. You can get super expensive ones. Like Dennis Rodman, I think, is on there for like $500. You can find people for $5. But if there's some celebrity that you want to buy a gift card for a friend, and you go, oh, that they love that person, they might be on Cameo.
What does Jim Belushi go for?
Danny, how much is Jim Belushi? Is he on Cameo? I wonder if Jim Belushi's on there.
Oh, I will look.
That's
$12.50 right there.
No, that's way too much for him. I was perusing this all morning as I prepared for this segment. $12.50 is way too much for a Jim Belushi.
I meant $12.50.
That's way too much for a Jim Belushi. He's not on there.
So
who is on there?
You name it, they're almost everyone's on there, except Jim Belushi.
Are you on there, Brian?
No, Jesse's on there.
I'm on there.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
What do you charge?
I think it's $50.
Do I get a friends and family discount?
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you need. $49.99? $48.
There you go.
And then they get a percentage of it as well.
How much do they get?
20 or 25%.
Do they pay you quickly?
Yeah, like within 2 days.
That's nice.
I mean, I don't get very many of them, but I get a few. But
yeah, I wouldn't embarrass myself by going on there and be waiting for somebody to...
Is it true that when you found out Sylvie was on there, you called the guys that ran Cameo and demanded that yours was more expensive than his?
Untrue, because you set your own price, A. B, I was one of the first people to do it because a friend of mine's daughter worked for the company. She's like, we're just starting this thing. Would you let us put you on there? I'm like, yeah, whatever. So, yeah, that's fact. Yeah, I don't get very many of them. If Sylvie does, God bless him. Does he yell at people?
I just asked if you wanted to be
extra.
More expensive. No need to take shots at our good friend Sylvie. Do you know who is on there? Do you know why I bring this up today?
Because Sister Jean.
Sister Jean is on here. Now, according to the website, the money goes to charity. But, I mean, of course she's on there. She's carrying this Loyola's Ramblers team to the Sweet 16 on her back. Why wouldn't she be on there? For $150, you could get Sister Jean to wish you luck or say happy birthday or just, you know, bless you.
With her scouting report.
Yep. Maybe. The money goes to charity. But I was perusing the website today, and I found a list of famous people that are less money than Sister Jean. So I want to play a game, Sister Jean or this person.
Hey, Sister Jean!
Bring it on.
Sister Jean for $150 or Ozzie Guillen at $50. You could get three Ozzie Guillens for one Sister Jean.
I would prefer to have it from Ozzie.
Yeah.
100%.
Roquan Smith for $85 or Sister Jean for $150. You could almost get two Roquan Smiths for one Sister
Jean. I'm going
Jean.
Sister Jean.
Hey, Sister Jean!
I'm going Sister Jean, yeah.
Jose Canseco, Rich Gannon, Ozzie Smith, all of them are listed at $100.
They mean nothing to me, so I'm going Sister Jean.
Jose Canseco would be great, dude, to be at a bar with your friends and pull out Jose Canseco wishing you well. That's a cool one.
He charges you $100 if he wants to give you a shot in the bathroom.
Exactly.
Is he providing the needles?
Yeah, well, he did it one time.
Danny, I actually think that a lot of people would go, I would love to have a blessing from Sister Jean.
Hey, Sister Jean!
Yes.
She's not going to bless you.
If I bought the cameo and said, Sister Jean, would you please bless me and my family? I guarantee you she'd do it.
I would give her $200 if she would bless Porter Moser on his way to Marquette.
Hey, Sister Jean!
Easy now. He's staying in Chicago.
No. I'm a Marquette alum. He's coming up. Look, Marquette spent $15 million last year on his basketball program. Okay? 18,000 people show up for home games. They're in the Big East, national TV. I mean, I get Porter loves Chicago and Loyola, but how much Loyola in the last 5 years hasn't spent $15 million? I mean, private charter jets, personal chef, team chef. I mean, they spend as much as Gonzaga without the returns.
Yeah, and I'm fearful Porter would go there. Stay, Porter, stay. Don't run from happiness.
No, Sister Jean, $200 if you nudge Porter and tell me he's coming.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, Danny, Sister Jean, I think you're off base here. I think she's going to get a lot of people that want her. She's going to be doing so many videos, she better live to 110.
Hey, Sister Jean!
Diamond Dallas Page, an all-time wrestling icon. $119.
What's an icon?
Icon. I said icon. Like, like in the last 3 hours, you didn't slur your words.
Believe me, I have.
Champ.
Believe me, I have, champ.
He's all of a sudden, he's the booze-nipping nanny over here. During the break, he's been taking a little.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need it, Brian. You know that. Dallas Page, $119.
Hoodie would go that way because he's a wrestling guy.
Sure.
But, yeah, hard pass on Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, me.
George Went. Norm from Cheers, $125. Oh, or John Ratzenberg, Cliff Clavin from Cheers, $125.
Near me? Yeah, either one.
Yeah, I'm going Sister Jean. I wasn't a Cheers guy.
Hey, Sister Jean!
Yeah. Keith Hernandez of baseball fame, but more importantly, Seinfeld fame, $125.
I might go Keith Hernandez back and to the left. Yeah, second spitter. I absolutely would probably go Keith Hernandez.
That's one
there.
Magic loogie.
Exactly.
All right, last one, Cap. We'd like you to, before you say this guy or Sister Jean, we want you to identify who he is. Rick Nielsen for $100 or Sister Jean.
Wow. Rick, he's got something to do with music.
Yes.
Jesse's girl?
Local. No, that's Rick Springfield.
Oh, one of the Ricks.
Oh, Brian, I'm surprised at you. I was sure you would
Rick
know
Nielsen, the Cars?
No,
nope.
But the
that's
band
Rick
does
O'Kasic.
Start with a C.
I'm getting all
that's
my
Rick O'Kasic.
Yeah, you're dancing around it there, Brian.
Peace Pizza. He's in there with Peace Pizza.
What?
I thought maybe that would. Carm always mentions that.
Rick Nielsen is the guitarist for Cheap Trick.
Oh, Cheap Trick, yeah.
All timer.
Okay, how can I not know that?
Oh, well, obviously, you're going to take Sister Jean for one.
Where are they playing? Up at the Genesis Theater in Waukegan?
I saw him at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas right after I got a Kevin Bacon facial over at the.
Exactly.
Is Cheap Trick in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, JR?
I don't believe but they should be.
They 100% they should be.
Stop. No. They couldn't sell out a phone booth.
You guys are really underestimating Cheap Trick.
They couldn't sell out a phone booth.
You guys are really saying that.
Mama's all right.
All right, we'll cross talk. We'll cross talk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.
Yeah.